Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Several years ago, I learned of a European band named Lacuna Coil. Now, the way I was able to do this is that I sometimes listen to Pandora, which is kind of a free internet radio station, which draws its music from all over the globe. I like their style of music, though not everybody here probably would like the same styles I do. And granted, their lyrics are not always the greatest, but I like the tunes anyway. When I found out that Best Buy had one of their CDs for sale, I went ahead and got it, and there's a particular track that I enjoyed, a track labeled Enjoy the Silence. Again, I enjoyed the tune, but the lyrics were kind of interesting. Since that time, I've heard a mix of the same song by a band here in the States called Bush. Doing some research for the sermon, I found out that Lacuna Coil was not the first band to use this song. I don't know if Bush was or who was, but that's not really the point I'm getting at. No matter who wrote it, the song, at least in part, speaks about divorce. In the second stanza are the words, "Vows are spoken to be broken." And throughout the song, the chorus repeats, "Words are very unnecessary. They can only do harm." Now, from time to time, we might find ourselves feeling the same way. As a former cashier and as a brother and a son and so many other positions that I have as vocations, I know that sometimes people say things that can hurt you a little bit, and you might feel the same way. There might be those, you might even be going through one of those times right now. It may be the tongue of an unfriendly stranger, a friend, or a family member that makes us think about those same words. Words are very unnecessary. They can only do harm. But do you believe that? Has society or your friends or family driven you to isolate yourself in your mind or away from society in your own home? Or maybe it's not a quarrel about the things being said to you, but maybe it's what's being said in the news and the public sphere. Christians who believe in 6-day creation cannot be good scientists. Christians are intolerant. So on and so forth. Do you believe, or by your actions or words, or lack thereof, portray that you believe that words are very unnecessary, they can only do harm? Are you more willing to tell the world, enjoy the silence? This morning, as only rarely happens, all three of our texts talk about the tongue and its use. What do they say? Well, that's what we'll look at this morning in our sermon, based especially from the Gospel from Mark chapter 9. The beginning of our text uses a lot of words which refer to other words. It says they and they and them and them. Who are the they? Who are the them? Well, in order to find out, we must backtrack a little bit into what was happening just before our text. You see, in the previous chapter, Jesus had taken James and John and Peter up on the mountainside, and there he was transfigured before them. But the rest of the disciples were still at the bottom, at the base of that mountain. And so they are the ones that they find as they come down from the mountain in the beginning of our text this morning. And they are in discussion, rather heated discussion, with the scribes and those around them. So Jesus says, "What are you arguing about with them?" Well, here already the disciples at the bottom of the mountain and the crowd and the scribes are demonstrating what James said in our epistle text. No human being can tame the tongue. They were arguing. Have you ever been in an argument? I'm willing to guess, based on the scripture, that no human can tame the tongue, that you've been in at least one argument. What happens when you get into an argument? Either you continue and continue and it escalates like a fire on dry grass, or something happens to stop it. If left unchecked, the tongue stains the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life. Even though it is one of the smallest members of the human body, the tongue can and does do massive damage. With the tongue, sinners like us attempt to put ourselves first. Last week we heard about how not to show partiality. And what did James write other than to say, with our tongues we say to the rich man, you sit here in the good place, and by saying the man dressed in shabby clothing, you sit over there at my feet, or you stand over there. Has your tongue ever set your course of life on fire? And now here in Mark's text, what is happening? But the disciples and scribes are arguing. They're allowing that fire to burn. Can you imagine where that might have gone if Jesus and the other disciples had not come down the mountain when they did? But Jesus did show up, and this is what happened next. Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And shortly after that, the demon within the man's son saw Jesus, and it convulsed the boy, prompting Jesus to ask, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it left the boy. Now here we find a connection to the Old Testament text from Isaiah. Isaiah had written that the Lord God had given me, that is the obedient servant, the tongue of those who were taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. The man whose son had been possessed from the demon most certainly was weary. He had been possessed since childhood. And if the man's father was weary, how much more so the boy dealing with the unclean spirit, with the mute and deaf spirit? How weary must he have been? With a few words, Jesus sustained them both, causing the demon to flee with his words. And Jesus said, "All things are possible for one who believes." With our tongues, we could make mountains tremble. Yet more often than not, we find ourselves in the position of the Father. Things are happening and we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. And all we can say is, "I believe, help my unbelief." Prior to this and after this event, Jesus' disciples were able to do miraculous events, casting out demons and spreading the word throughout the countryside. Yet in this particular case, they could not cast out the demon. They could not sustain the ones who were weary. Jesus not only could, he did. He was the obedient servant about whom Isaiah wrote this morning, "The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame." Last week we heard about how Jesus did not deny going to the cross. He did not deny his Father's command, but instead denied himself, setting his face like a flint and setting his jaw to go to the cross, the Calvary, for you. For your every sin, including the sins of the tongue. For every curse instead of blessing. For every gossip instead of defense. For every blaspheme instead of praise. For every silence instead of speaking. Jesus went to the cross. Through his silence before the shears of death, he has taken the punishment for your sins of speech as the Christ, the Son of God. Now, it has been said that we have two ears and one mouth, and that's true. And if our texts say anything about the fact, it's that we cannot tame the tongue. We cannot, but God can and does. Through his Spirit, he will guide you to say what you need to say when the time comes, as he has promised. After all, if God had intended us to be silent, why would Jesus encourage his disciples to speak prayer to defeat demons, as he does at the end of our text? Why would Jesus have commissioned us believers to go into all nations, teaching them what he has taught us by our words? every piece of his armor we put on by prayer and the reading of his word. Even James does not say to never speak, but rather that God would use his spirit in us to speak blessing, as it is not proper for us to speak both blessing and curse. So God has called you out of the fire of the tongue to using it for proclamation of his word, which was spoken to you by someone else, that you may also speak his good word to those around you. This is not to save you. You're already saved. Jesus has paid the entire price for all of your sins. It is for the benefit of your neighbor that you speak and that we speak. While the world will say, enjoy the silence, we as Christians say, enjoy the word, especially the word of the good news, the gospel in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful until the life everlasting. Amen.